Hello, everyone, and welcome to what could be, should be, might be, even if the book hasn't ended, the Dice Before Dishonor Season 1 finale. Have you ever taken an adventure and went, this is cool, but my players have asked for this? And to make it work, you gotta add something. You gotta play in the gray area. It's a lot of fun. It's collaboration with players and their backstories and the DM, looking for gaps in the story where you can insert things, like entire factions of bad guys that might come from the other side of the world through a portal with a whole bunch of ninjas at their beck and call. Shapeshifting Kitsune, who constantly tracks certain party members for some sort of otherworldly endgame. But what if on top of that, the adventure had plants, spies, and members in disguise among the party? So I put it to you tonight, if one bad guy party and a second bad guy party have members in our good guy party, how would they get on? How would they interact? And if one sensed the other might interfere with their plans, would one do the party a favor? Or would the DM be trading up one evil for a far greater one? Or the devil you know? We shall see. Welcome, everyone, to what hopefully should be, could be, would be. I really don't like making promises at this point. It's been a messed up couple of months. The season finale of season one, Dice Before Dishonor. We're going to try and stay live and go as far as we can with this episode tonight to cap it. In the house with me tonight, resuming his role of subterfuge, interfuge, being the center of worldly intrigue and probably even not really knowing what's going on, our fly samurai, Jay Tamlin, is in the house.
Yoshiko nagashimasu.
That's right. He's broadcasting from Japan just to make his character's backstory that much more believable. I mean, that's commitment. I got to say, guys, the guy moved to Japan just to play a samurai. I mean, that's commitment.
Hey,
to a podcast.
Do it right.
There you go. Next in line to the throne, the highest Stavian, 22 third plus a cousin's roommate removed, pretty sure. The man of the hour who could be having holy power, playing Lord Samish Gildervarth. Frank Hamilton's in the house tonight.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing today?
His faithful sidekick. I mean, when you're trying to cross a river and some guy comes wiggling out of a boat, comes over and says, how y'all doing? Can I sleep with you? I mean, sorry, can I sleep beside you with a campfire, Grimsy horse? You got to be friends. You loan the guy some money. And if he comes back to you, he was meant to be your manservant. If he doesn't, it never was. Playing the ever sly, far more under the hood than he lets on, Fafal the Sylph. I think we should really talk about when you level, what you are. But until you guys leave this dungeon, you won't be third level. Aiden Willems is in the house.
It's wonderful to be here, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
The star of our show, NPC'd by myself, Barkley the Wolf is in the house, and he's carrying around a deceitful, disgusting halfling that didn't even weigh half as much until he gave up all the gold. A slim, trim, fighting machine, one-eyed. Well, are you what, like the navigator? Are you the pilot? I mean, who is the real...
We're a team.
Okay, I'll buy that. Mr. Batwit's in the house tonight.
Hey, everybody.
And last, but not least, sure, not his best character, but once in a while, one of our funniest players that's memorable in support and lead roles needs to take a backseat. And it is appreciated that Ryan has dialed it way, way back to play this character brutally honestly. The man that's with a grim scowl, a couple tusks, green skin, our one and only Sir Bartholomew Dindledagen, Ryan Messina, is in the house tonight.
Hey, everybody. How's you doing?
So, did I miss anyone? Rob Hamilton is sick tonight, and Juan Zumbari is staggered, and even after some healing or whatever, is, trailing along, stuffed in the back of the line with four or five other NPCs that you guys have been schlepping along as VIPs for the promise of money and safety and, you know, good career challenges. I'm sure these guys, these nobles, will put in a good word for you when you finally possibly reach the surface. Which reminds me, what if you guys don't make it out of here? I mean, is there anyone on the surface that knows, that may know where you've poofed to? I mean, you guys literally teleported here.
That sounds like a no, then.
is there anyone on the outside that might come look for you? No?
Maybe in a few weeks or months, but...
Or maybe in the far future, when Taldor has another adventure in second edition, you guys will be the bones and the next party possibly comes down and visits... Revisits, vanquishes. I wanted to talk about, really quickly, diplomacy intimidate, and bluff. Three social skills that this adventure has completely screwed up. No, have completely decided to kind of go off the rails and try out a new system. I found the system interesting. And so wrapped up in focusing on it, I think I've done the original system a disservice. I'm pretty sure I've remembered somewhere, if they hardwire an NPC going, this is what the guy does, this is what he's willing to do, and this is what he's not willing to do. They actually script it. Players might get a hint to try this, that, and the other. However, if they set a DC, if they say that somebody is, let's say, susceptible to knowledge religion, is knowledge arcana, if we're talking about a spell, that different? Could a DM take the 2022 DC of the knowledge religion and add 5 or 10 and say, okay, it's not exactly the same field. It'd be like alchemy and knowledge arcana is probably a better example. DC 20 alchemy, or DC 25 or DC 30 knowledge arcana. This is DM 101 and something I've kind of overlooked because I felt in the spirit of what the writers were trying to do, they kind of gave some freebies in certain instances in the party and down here, and they really hardwired some NPCs to sort of balance the free stuff, getting a free cleric played by Rob, getting a free merchant played by so-and-so, some of the interactions on the surface. But when characters put their heart and soul and really try to be good at something, and they bash and bash and bash away at it, like, let's say, a certain Jedi from a different game who picks up an axe and just can't wait for a lightsaber because he just cannot hit a damn thing with that vibro axe. You know, he has to constantly go back to using force powers. Should you drop the AC so he can, like, you know, hit that log with the axe? Should you find another way? Should you just possibly, a clever DM, point out tactics so he can get a bonus with that axe? I'm not saying there's a right or wrong way. But what I am saying is, I'm sure you've taken note how mean I have been to our two lead players, Jay Tamlin and Frank Hamilton. I've been absolutely nasty when it comes to social events with Frank, and I've been really mean to my own son-in-law in just about every other instance of the game, just to prove there's no favoritism just because he's family. I think you guys have earned the audience's respect and my own. So I would like to start the scene with Gildervarth. A hard night's rest on a hard stone floor isn't the best way to heal, even under care of your own budding powers or Juan Zubari's medical attention. But when you wake up the next day, you feel relaxed. You feel good. There's something, not heavy, but definitely covering your eyes. You feel around and the ground underneath you is padded. Your feet and hands and your mouth feel fresh, not clammy or congested. Your fingertips are moist in a nice towel after the Mandarin kind of way, not in a teehee, let's make the paladin pee kind of way. No, nothing like that. You wake up and you reach up and you find something thin and moist over your eyes. You pull them off and you find Pib and Zarf, the wee little draconic speaking, I mean, they don't even speak your language, little kobolds fawning over you. Juan, and of course, Fafal managed to wiggle his way in here. Zambari's out cold. Fafal looks over at you with a full facial mask and cucumbers still on his eyes with his great big shit-eating grin, just giving you the thumbs up, while Pib is like doing his toenails. And on your left hand, not only is Zarf like already manicured your hand, he's like polishing your glove of your armor. Like servants, taking no notice that you've awoken, just seeing to their task. You guys are in a isolated room. There's a door behind you. The room is like a hallway that's 10 feet wide, 15 feet long, and opens up into like a cavernous room with the floor descending rapidly. They did talk about the underdwelling, the underdark. I can't remember. What is Glorian's name for the underdark? Is there the underblow? Does anyone remember? No, I just can never remember that.
I know, right? I think we had this discussion last game and I had to look it up, but nope, totally forgot again.
Pib and Zarf are back and forth in their draconic language. With Zimbari out cold, you're not sure what they're going on, but you get the tone. You know, both
the
are...
The Darklands.
The Darklands. There it is. A cavern which most likely leads to the Darklands, since our kobold merchant said that's where he hauled his stuff up from. You guys seem to be in the precipice of said cavern. Straw mats, but made comfortable. Sacks stuffed with what? For pillows? I mean, you guys turned in a certain amount of your armor to rest well. Everything is laid out. Some of your stuff is in the middle of being polished. You guys are, the three of you at least, are being very well looked after by these two kobolds. The door opens, and in comes the merchant, rubbing his hands.
Ah! Zartar Tutorja Drakanyanan!
He comes over, smiling at Varth, goes over and... sorry, go ahead.
I'll kind of roll over and look at Zimbari and say, clearly something has happened. Not that I'm complaining.
Zimbari's out cold. Yeah, you weren't sure if he was conscious or not under those cucumbers on his eyelids, but he's, you know, the draconian. The merchant kobold gives him a gentle poke, and he just sort of turns over and starts snoring loudly.
So, now is all right. So, see, hey, dolokin,
hey, and then he starts yelling at Pib and Zarfu, like, quickly, but, you know, kind of wants to polish the glove a bit more, kind of wants to keep it because it's shiny, and then gently smiling at you because you're suddenly watching him, puts it down. They run off and return shortly with refreshments. These little guys made breakfast. They've roasted underdark mushrooms, found eggs, probably lizard, not bird, but hey, breakfast is breakfast, you know. Serve it up to you guys quite quick, and fa-fall. Oh, you smell that. It smells good.
Why can't we have this more often, Lord Varth? This is wonderful.
I'll just kind of scratch my head. I have nothing. I mean, this does remind me vaguely of the Salons in Muda, but other than that, I'm at a loss.
So Juan finally awakes and explains that he asked them if there was an easier way for us to communicate besides him constantly translating so he could rest. You had succumbed to your wounds. Not them. He doesn't trust them, but Juan himself whipped up a bit of sedative so you could sleep deeply. And like I said, you're still quite foggy there, Lord Varth. But apparently they found a way not only to communicate, but for Fafal to reiterate everything that was said in a much, shall we say, compassionate, flashier, and not merchant cleric versus merchant kind of way. And like I said, sticking to your original diplomacy rules of blowing crap out of the water with 28s and 30s and whatever, here we are now. You, the cleric, and your manservant are getting basically from scratch the A1 treatment. Where are your companions? You don't know.
I will obviously get up.
Okay.
Kind of start putting gear back on that I removed or was removed and gather my friends and wits.
Okay. Do you eat?
Not just yet.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure that everyone is present and accounted for. That should be
in case
here.
They cook them. Hey,
yeah, right?
Samurai good.
That would include the nobles that we had kind of kept in waiting there.
Munching on.
Just to make sure everybody's
halfling finger. Okay. So while they made you comfortable here, the rest of the party have retreated to, do you remember the room with the giant table and all the flags?
I do.
Probably the safest and most comfortable and defendable room. And then in the middle of the night during watches or whatever, Zimbari and Fafal got talking to the merchant again and then just talked you into going with them for some healing. And this is how you guys awoke. Your other party sees you guys polished and refreshed and have no idea what's happened to you. The fact that you were gone all night, maybe, you know, assuming you were negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
Barclay, Sir Winston, Leon, and Bartholomew in the middle of the night.
Breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, you're enjoying your spoon of broth and I didn't feed you guys. You guys are on your own.
Oh, dude, I'm scarfing back the unlimited bowl of gruel.
There you go. However, again, thanks to a one final break in the rolls, as it were, that I noticed just before we finished up last week, I decided a bit of a cascading backwards effect was in order. That last little hint that take our wares to the surface business up there can come down here, giving them the idea that, as you guys were saying, we're trapped down here. They can go over to the Underdark, but what about marketing, you know, up type of thing? It's not that they came very far down in price, but they've certainly upped the treatment of you guys, as well as they've provided our samurai with a makeshift grappling arrow.
Oh, that's nice.
So, morning prayers for the cleric and the casters. You guys take a head count. Everyone's here. Nope. Wait a minute. Someone is missing.
And who would that someone be?
The halfling servant that you guys found in one of the adjacent rooms. Do you remember his name? We found Lord Wilfen Boltles, Sir Gryphus Plastion. I love that name. and Lady Gale Urbine, all lawful neutral human fifth level, third level aristocrats in one room. We found Zumbari and supposed to find, of course, you guys took her pin. So no Madam Trent in another room. And then in one room all by himself, we found Emistos Gullbend. Remember him? Half the dungeon he followed along with the nobles. The other half, he was absent, kept disappearing. And now he's disappeared once again.
Hmm.
You guys asked the nobles. It's like he got up in the middle of the night to pee and never came back. We thought he was with you. You know, went to, because you guys went off, you know. And that kind of quelled any, oh no, we should go look for him kind of thing, because half the party split, got pampered, and they just, everyone assumed everyone else was with everyone else. They all got their sleep as ordered, rested up a bit, regained some hit points, yada yada. So the question remains, a hole in the ceiling, a locked door that Fafal was having trouble with, and those eggs are getting cold. What do you do, gentlemen?
Well, bookkeeping-wise, I'm assuming we gained some hit points back from sleeping.
Yeah, refresh my memory. It's like your level plus two?
Just level per night, unless you did, like, taken care of rest. But I don't think anyone has heal well enough to do that.
Okay. Yeah. So I will say that, you know, the incense and everything, Juan, Fafal, and Lord Varth get extra for their pamper treatment all night. The rest of you guys are hard bones.
All right. First things first, I mean, I'm going to dig into the eggs and then mention casually the missing servant. Does anyone remember where the, what was his name? The short one. The halfling. Where he may have gone off to?
Winston, you're right there.
Not you. I know who Winston is. He's a tried and true companion. I mean, the other one. The one we found down here.
Where is Winston? I don't even see his mini on the board.
Well, setting aside whether Winston knows other halflings or not, perhaps Barclay might be able to help with
that's
that.
That's racist.
I'll kind of jokingly wave a biscuit. Nothing draws the small folk like a biscuit. No?
And I'm like toucan standing behind the biscuit.
So just so that we don't get Rob Juan Zubari, NPC, in the book mixed up with you guys, I've made him neutral again. But, you know, check out Mimpus in the green, because he's being downright helpful.
Was Zumbari ever really helpful?
he was good at taking that one hit.
He was functional.
He was functional. Rob's
we get along
here.
Quite
he,
well
he,
as long as he's
totally
not actually... As long as he doesn't walk into combat, he's actually quite helpful.
It's kind of like a towel. You don't want to be held at home without it, but you're not broken if you didn't remember it.
Like a wet towel, yes. That's a perfect description.
So, anyway. Sorry.
Anyway, we seem to have been missing one of the short folk. I'll turn to the three nobles in tow there. Any ideas? He's your charge, wasn't he?
Lord Bortos is like, no, you know, got up in the middle of the night. At least that's what I was told by, you know, who was on watch. And, you know, they tried sorting things out. Now, as far as the watches go, you guys had one guy per watch, two guys per watch. Two guys per watch is safer, but you'd also have to rely on the NPCs. Also, Fafal and Juan need 8 hours of uninterrupted rest. However, they don't necessarily have to be asleep during that time, but they do have to be sort of an autopilot going, oh, look at the pretty flag. It's like the flames, you know, like they can't be
active. I'll tell them you'll do a double duty if necessary.
Okay.
I most definitely did need the uninterrupted, because that's how you get the healing back.
That's how you get the hit points back, dude. Are you sure you want to waive your hit points?
I think our best course of action is not to get sidetracked, get the three nobles that are in our charge out as quickly as we can. Then once the way is clear, we can always go back and look for this halfling if need be.
Sounds good.
Yes.
A noble in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Exactly. He's simply a servant. He should have the good sense not to wander off by himself. And those small folk, as you say, are cunning. Cunning as a cereal box and as clever as a... And he slowly looks over and notices Winston scoffing down that's still in the bowl, and the wolf's like looking at him like, well, you know.
Winston, you wouldn't happen to be able to... Because I'm quite certain that beyond this area to the north, we've never taken the... we've never taken either the nobles nor the wayward halfling. You wouldn't happen to be able to find any traces of him. And I begin also looking to see if I can see, like, other little footprints.
I'll hand the bowl off to one of them who wasn't certain.
Okay.
And I'll jump on.
Okay.
Barclay's back and
starting. I'm not going to move all the minis again, but starting back at the flag room, the big table.
Yep.
Right? We point out where he was sleeping. Yes?
Perfect. Right.
Okay. So
just so we can get the scent.
Yeah.
I aid Barkley. Mm-hmm.
Leon is our tracker by skill, and Barkley, under your direction, is a natural tracking machine.
Yep.
Bartholomew, you wish to aid as well?
Sure.
Okay. So with Barkley leading the charge and Leon and Bartholomew aiding.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the thing is, though, you guys have a different skill set. He's tracking by scent. Does Barkley have the survival skill?
Yes, he does. And okay. He gets a bonus when tracking by scent of +4.
Okay, so
giving him a total of +5.
Well, if we can run from an actual skill, then these guys can aid you. If it's just a supernatural ability or extraordinary ability like scent, then it would be two different types of role. You know what I mean? Two different parties. So, no, if they're saying a scent just gives them, then there you go.
So I got an 11.
Okay.
I got an 18. Sorry, Jay.
So one of you guys was taking the lead. I was aiding.
No. Specifically said Barkley was lead on this. You guys went out.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Okay.
I was like, yeah. Oh, I asked.
That's okay. It's a 15.
Yep.
Unless.
Oh, no. Donald Dagen gives more, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I have a +5.
3 from Donald Dagen, 2 more from Leon, right? Yeah. So for 5 total. So 16. 16. Yes. He picks up his scent. Sniff, 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 sniff. Actually, you know what? This would probably. Like I said, not without moving all the minis. Let's just go with assuming that you guys are following, or you've put these three to the task and the rest of you discussing morning tactics, you know, that kind of thing. Starting down here, okay?
I kind of limp behind.
Right. Sniff, 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 right? Tracks him. He gets a little confused in the hallway here. Like, he wants to go towards the old Temple of Aridin. But there's something else also directing him to the door out. So he's kind of doing a bit of a once around here. And then can I have another roll? Because something might throw him off.
I'll lead with Winston and have Barkley.
Okay.
It's not going to be good.
8. Do you guys have the DC tracking up for the skill?
I think. 10.
What's our tracking here? I just realized that cold stone floor is not favorable.
Dusty cold stone floor?
Oh, it's like 4 to 6, 8 hours ago, dusty cold stone floor, and a lot of you guys have been back and forth in this hallway. That's why he's suddenly getting confused.
Just rolling like crap tonight.
Where are we here? Do-do-do-do-do-do. Tracking, tracking, tracking. Tracking, here we are. Hard ground, DC 20. Firm ground, yeah. Not easy.
What about tracking by scent? Does that change things?
Well, like you said, it's giving you a +4 to the tracking. Now, if he was here, then you can have scent take over and he could sniff him out through stealth, going, I smell you. But you specifically said the scent gives the skill +4, which is great bonus, but... All right. So we start in the room, and when he gets into the hallway, get a little lost.
But he seemed to be implying it was either Aridin or North.
Mm-hmm.
We could guess.
Barkley distinctly like looks down and scoots down the hallway, then 180 and gets a sniffing around the bottom of the doorway. And then just kind of, you know, plus all of us have just tracked through here. So it's just kind of like,
he's not finding it.
Yeah.
I don't remember him actually entering into the Temple of Aridin before.
No, they all stood around the corner down here the way Barkley was pointing a while ago. That was like a day ago, a couple encounters ago. Do you guys want to try on your own? You can switch up the lead. Technically, that would be a different new lead tracker.
We could go quickly and check and see if he is there.
Okay. So you guys run down to the temple?
Sure.
Okay. No. No sign of him. Now, I can't remember. Did you guys let Caesar live?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay. You want to talk to him?
Sure. Ask him if he...
Deception. Something wrong, a little... quipe amongst the ranks? I might have seen something. Conversation, an argument. He wasn't alone. I could tell you that. Oh, my memory. It was so dark. I don't like to leave the temple. Seriously, I'm asking you for a bribe. You just if you guys forget who I am.
No, I just have no money. I'm poor.
Yeah, I
look at the ground in shame.
If you really want some money, we know some kobolds. They're filthy rich.
So...
I will attempt a diplomacy check to see if I can smooth talk this guy to tell us what he knows.
Okay.
If anything, just to make us leave him alone.
Or even do the wit thing, like just trying to secretly draw the answer out of him.
That would be a bluff.
Or maybe offhandedly mention that we slaughtered that sorcerer who he was warning us against and was telling us that we would get destroyed.
Frank's not even a paladin yet. You guys, no one threatens anymore? That's so, sorry. There's so many skills. I'm just saying. Nope. No, stick with what you know, right? So let's start with diplomacy.
Right. 14.
Okay. Can I have a bit of a, like, what's your angle on this?
You know, the quicker you tell us, the quicker we'll leave you alone. And you can go back to the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to. We don't mean to disturb you overly, but we are looking for this halfling that was accompanying us.
Now, his the last time you guys, you know, cowed him and, you know, spared his life or whatever, that sticks. And where is my diplomacy? Man, I haven't used these screens in so long. It's really sad. I'm like, diplomacy. Oh, there we are. So we got him up to, was he was indifferent, and then he fucked with you guys. We got him up to friendly, which is simply, oh, so yeah. Fine, I suppose. You don't have anything else for Aerodin? He smiles. Like, I will tell you this. He was not alone. And I didn't see exactly who was with him, but I saw what they did. Oh, so clever. Drew a weapon, wrapped it around his little throat, and strangled him on the spot. After a short conversation of murmuring, I mean, it did draw me from my sleep. I missed most of the conversation, but obviously they weren't agreeing on someone. But the delight, I did see the end. Strangled him where he stood, like a limp little puppet. And then, used the weapon, didn't even detach it from the little bucker's throat, and just dragged him off with it. It's delightful.
Where did this happen?
He points, like, way out in the middle of the room. You know, like, all that brush and everything. It's a good 100-foot room beyond Aerodin.
That might be a good place for Barkley to begin sniffing around.
So yeah, I'll head on over there and have Barkley start sniffing around. Well, halfling or whatever, whoever else he was encountering. Either way, it'll lead us somewhere.
What are Barkley's orders exactly?
So I will take him to the area of the scuffle.
Okay.
And direct him to find, to track from here where they went.
Okay. Sniffs all around.
Well, big money.
Sniffs all around.
12. Plus 4. 16.
Yep. And you guys want 8 on this? Because like I said, yeah, the hard floor is like 20 guys.
can I aid him as well?
Yeah, but only up to only 2 people. So Leon aids with a 21.
And yeah, Winston aids with a 14. So I give plus 4. You give plus what?
2.
Leon? Yeah.
Plus 2 for me.
Yeah. So a total
plus 6. So a total 20, of
22 on a hard surface floor is 20. So he takes the pointing space. Pose, boom. I've got it. And he goes. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so now he's looking for, his instructions are the two of them. Okay, so to move things along, again, I will be kind and not every 10 feet or whatever. I think it's like every hour, every major change. But the floor doesn't change. And Barkley has had a sniff of everyone down here. This is a major factor. If you guys were like in the woods with strangers and could be anybody, like Barkley has become accustomed to everyone's scent. And now you're telling him two people that you already know by Smith, go find him. So I think that would be a huge factor in the fact that you guys could just railroad him up and down and around. And he goes and goes and goes and goes. And he starts leading us back to the big room.
The big circular room?
Yeah, the emergency bunker senate.
Okay.
Okay. And he doesn't go onto the hardwood floor. He goes all the way around the edge, right? Right past the door and stops at a wall and start sniffing the wall right down on the east southeast corner.
12. Do I see anything there?
It's a wall. He just seems like as if they stopped here. Maybe they started climbing or something. I don't know. You are allowed to take 20s with perception.
I will take a 20.
You're searching. I know you guys are so used to tracking. It's like you move back to
perception. For a total of 26.
Matt would have won, the one that plays the rogue in Mummy's Mask. But hey, at least you're not meta, right? You're not meta. We find a secret door.
Da, 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 da.
Son of a bitch. Secret door here. It's pretty simple. Like, you just have to know where to push kind of thing. It tilts. It's not one of those depressed and need to know the brick or whatever. You know what I mean? Now that it's moving in the dust, it's kind of like, oh, look, you know, there's the slight, it's not that it's scuffing the floor, it's the wall is raised a hair, which just looks like a crack that runs along the wall for like 30 feet, and it's there so that the pivot can turn, you know what I mean, without scuffing the floor, revealing itself. But it just looks like poor craftsmanship for like 30 feet along this entire wall, where the mason just kind of missed the bottom, or maybe the grout washed out or something, you know what I mean, like it's, yeah. Anyway. Do we wish to gather a party or keep them safe behind us and sneak in there alone?
No, we should totally gather. Mount up! Boy, I'm the only one with a mount. Never mind.
Shall we go in, or did we want to quickly check the hole above us?
Well, you...
Pause for grapple and climb?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's pause for grapple and climb.
Okay. Here's something I've never done. And just because
no point in leaving a stone unturned.
In Mummy's Master's, a 60-foot shaft, second room, first dungeon, and we have lambasted the crap out of it. These guys hate me. So, to reward them from that, in a different game, is that fair? Well, come on, same podcast company, same players. I would like one single climbing roll from each and every one of you, and we will do a quick montage of each of you climbing the gym rope with Coach yelling at you. Go.
Yep,
even Barkley. You too. Let's assume...
Can I?
Yes.
Perhaps, like, instead of climbing, I'll take the shot and then go back to Zubari and get healing.
Okay. So is that everyone?
Yep.
Okay. So, Lord Samish, with a 2, jumps on the rope.
That's right.
Jumps on the rope and just kind of like... and he's just swinging, his like toes are scraping. He doesn't even bother taking the shield off. Leon informs you guys he's tapping out right there. Next up, Barkley by the teeth. You know, just swinging 5 foot off the ground. Nope. Next up, you see Dunaldagan, hand over hand, steadily climbing, getting halfway, and then you just see the veins start bulging, and he just slowly, like he strained something, just come back down safely. It is Fafal, who... It's almost like he's just threading the rope through his hands, like, what do they call it? The tackle clasp, right? And he's doing the same thing with his feet. So the feet come up and clamp, and then the hands go to the length of his body, and then he just brings like toes and wrists together, and then extends the feet. You know what I mean? Like he just kind of inchworms his way right up,
up into climbing with your feet, like you're supposed to.
Yeah, yep. He just makes it look cooler. You missed it; you weren't there. But hey, healing. I think one would suggest who's worst off.
Juan and I are both
right. So you get a direct cure light wounds. For 7 points.
Yay.
Okay. And at that point, he'd probably be like, I should save some, and maybe we'll gather everyone for a channel. Right?
At least I'm no longer staggered.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, you were in pretty rough shape. Oh, 18 out of 20 points. Ew.
Yep. I'm in quite rough shape.
You got anything on you? I mean, I should hold this for anyone, especially if somebody goes down. This could like really revive anything, but I really like the look of your, and he just leans in and mentions something. Very valuable, very personal. If you're willing to part with it, you'll get the other cure light wounds right now in here. Yes, no?
And I just walk away.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just assuming that wasn't a serious request.
He's very clever, knowing he'd probably be the first one to get dropped anyway and get that cure light wounds on me later in front of everyone, because they're like, oh, everyone says help Leon. So, back to our rope. Fafal.
Yes.
Upstairs, 60 feet off the ground, there is a hole in the ceiling, and it's like a small chamber that goes one way. It absolutely, the stench of Diego's urine and everything, it's just... Oh my god, can I have a fortitude save immediately, please?
Oh no.
Everything in here has been rendered into circular patterns, but it doesn't look like runes in the walls. It's just like he, you know, peed in a circle. Feces in a circle. My bedroll is like a bird's nest. It is a big circle. Some cloth and rags. Circle, circles everywhere. He's even tacked things on the walls and drawn, like, just mathematical looking circles everywhere. What'd you get?
16.
16. Congratulations. No filth fever for you yet. Ooh, yep. I am a giant rat, and this is my lair. Anyway, there's a pile of chewed and torn paper. There's all kinds of just junk books scattered. What do you want to do?
Is there anything that looks immediately like a hoard of like actual stuff and not just scraps?
Beyond the actual chewed paper lump? No.
Okay, then chewed paper lump it is.
Okay. Start digging your way through the chain paper lump, and you find a thick book. You find 4 pristine rubies,
ooh,
a pearl, and a scuffed jewelry box.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How big's the jewelry box?
You know, like the little...
Oh, okay. Like
like one of the tiny ones.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like it would hold earrings or a ring or a single necklace if it's flat, you know. And
I was sure if it was, you know, one of those big bulky ones that has.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
All right. I got you. Okay. Well, pocketed scarf zips open.
Okay.
All the jewels and the jewelry go in there.
Okay. And then the jewelry box.
Yep. And then.
Do you want to look in the jewelry box?
Heads up. Yes. Jewelry box in there as well. Sorry.
So, do you want to look in it?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, so just stash and grab.
Disgusting up here.
No, it's fine. Stash and grab, and
yep. Drop the book down the hole.
Okay.
yelling out, heads up.
Who's down there? Who's at the bottom? You guys are all around the bottom
of the hole?
Hopefully
nobody after he yelled, heads up.
Right?
Setting off the explosive runes, and you all die, poof. Where Leon comes back in time. Ah! No, just kidding. Okay. Womp. Big book hits the floor. Down comes Fafal. And he stinks. Dude, like 5 feet away, it's like he's been perfumed a la musk. It's just on him. It's like not enough to make you guys make fort saves, but it's just like you can't crawl into the space without brushing up against a whole lot of years of this immortal Diago rat. And it's just, you know, it's like the guy that's like smokes weed and then walks into your grocery store and he's gone. And there's like a trail going up and down the aisle. You just follow it. It's so pungent and thick.
So with that, I'm going to cast Prestidigitation on myself. God, I can't say that word right now.
Oh yeah, change the smell from urine to weed, so you're acceptably socially. Oh, no, sorry, only works in Canada. Sorry.
Wonderful perfume.
Okay. Oh, he smells exquisite.
I can just clean items.
No, that's actually one of the underrated uses of said spell. Yep. So whatever treasure this guy may have, Fafal has taken, and what reveals the book. You guys have popped open a secret door.
Okay.
And you want to take one with you, or are you guys back to the foyer of, like, you know, we will investigate, you guys stay safe?
Well, once Fafal gets down, I'll ask him, what else was up there? What did you find?
He was very obsessed with circles, including his urine, feces, bedding, and others. But besides that, and a couple of jewels, that was about it.
Strange. He seemed to have full run of this place, yet he was able to accomplish so little.
He was much. Obviously mad.
Agreed.
But aren't we all a little bit?
No.
So what do you want to do, gentlemen?
I'll take point and head into the tunnel.
Yeah, okay. I'll back him up.
Now, you were tracking at this point. You want to get back on that or just follow the tunnel?
Sure, might as well.
Connect the dots or... Okay.
I'm going to pick up the book and start going through it.
Okay.
While following everyone else. I'm just going to haphazardly.
As a caster...
24 survival for tracking by scent with Sparkly.
Okay. He not only paused at the door and opened it, it's obviously they actually came through this way. Because Sparkly is, you know, doing the excited sniff, not just like, where'd he go? He's just like on point. Dun, dun, dun. Yep. You know, gobbling up the trail. Bum, 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 bum. Moving along. Gobbling up the trail. And you guys come along here. Do. Right? And who are we missing here? Have I got everybody in order? Is this Fafal? Yeah, Fafal. Are you hanging back or are you trailing along looking at this book? What do you want to do?
Trailing along looking at the book.
Can I have a spellcraft check really quick?
You can.
I will... how's this work?
15 untrained.
15, I can tell you that you strongly suspect that this is his spellbook, that he was a caster, not a sorcerer. It's full of math equations and notes and tidbits of things that you've picked up as a spontaneous cast yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would take a bit to decipher, but this is definitely magic and, you know, worth its weight in gold.
Cool.
Not to mention you saw some of the stuff that he, like the acid arrow that he put in. That, you know, there's some nasty things in here. So back to the lead.
Moving on in.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about first I cast Revelio. The next room. Zoom in a little bit. There's one good thing I like about small rooms is, you know, you just zoom right in and you're good. Let's talk about the next room. Dust-covered couches cover some of the walls in this rectangular chamber. Three doors exit the area. One to the east that you have yet to explore. One to the west, which you guys tried to open and could not. And final to the south is your, you know, exit way that you're coming in.
Sniff, sniff, sniff.
Okay. Comes in here and then... sniffs around, gets a little confused, goes over to the door, and then comes back to the door leading east, further out or further beyond to, you know, a point unexplored.
Check the door. Does it open?
Yes, it does.
I will have shield out and axe in hand.
Okay. And the rest of you?
Seeing this, I will draw my longsword.
Axe in.
Book into my pack and rapier out.
Seeing this,
but with the ready, okay. And I'll stand right at the doorway.
Sorry for those in the podcast. As soon as Jay said that and started moving his mini, Riot took Bartholomew and jetted him across and stole the spot posting on the door. It literally looked. I've never seen a mini do
a
dick
race.
Move.
I know that was planned. I'm going like in front of the door so I can shoot through the door.
Oh, okay, so you're behind Winston,
yeah,
looking over.
I'm behind.
Just because we all came out of the bottom of the room, it's just like Bartholomew just outpaced you. Like, nope, yep. I want to go here. That's good. Okay, so everyone's posting the door. So on
so
the east
long sword
wall,
in hand, I open the door.
East wall on the north, Bartholomew, sword in hand, right. Seeing you guys draw your weapons, Barkley takes the halfling off and just places you in front of the door and stands behind you. Gives you a push. There you go. You got this. Gaining sentience with every circle that I've licked at. So, yeah, they think I'm kidding. I'm the next Diago. You imagine flashing to the next night and there's Barkley chasing himself in his tail.
Circle.
What are you doing there, Barkley? And he actually turns to you and speaks. Circles. Must be the circles. Must be the
Well, yeah. Diego. I thought you said Iago. No, Aladdin. Talking parrot.
Diego, right? Barkley's just like, must fly in the circles, must fly in the circles. Next week. So, we open a door.
Yeah.
Carefully, gently. A small little hallway. But something very interesting. I'm not saying it's blocking the door, but there's junk in here. There's ropes that are strung around and metal objects and stuff, but it doesn't look like it's set up to do anything. It just looks like a mess with barely a rope still attached to the ceiling. Perception, knowledge, engineering? Anyone?
I can try a perception.
All right.
Do you want to show the entire class there, Winston?
Perception 17. Of 25.
Perception of
17.
Three.
Yeah.
Damn. 3. Yeah.
Knowledge engineering of 26.
This is an alarm trap.
What?
This is an alarm trap. It's been tripped and not reset.
Oh.
Tripped and not reset? Like somebody's gone through?
And tripped it.
And tripped it.
And this is the way Barkley said they went.
Yep. So I will look around, push through, open the next door.
Okay.
Okay. So okay.
Fascinating.
Okay. You step through, and only then do you notice the body, but it's not like intact. It's a print.
A body print?
Yeah. Like something hit the floor covered in something and left a print.
Oh.
Like a chalk outline?
Well, imagine being
like
covered
a stamp.
Like a snow angel.
Yeah, like a snow angel.
Imagine being covered in soot, like someone shoved you in a chimney and then you like fell prone on the floor here and you'd leave like a big poof of dust. A black, sooty print, an outline of a small, diminutive, halfling-shaped body. The problem is...
Look up.
Around the head print? Yeah. Around the head print, though, there's red splatter, you know, in a sort of latitude, you know.
Like a corona?
No, it's not like an impact splatter. It's like somebody got injured, fell here unconscious, and bled out right around the neck. And then later... somebody's moved the body. So there's a little pool of blood and a big imprint of like a soot halfling body. And the next door, which Winston is already charging through. Imprint is up here. Okay.
Oh, I bet you know what happened. He went through and activated the trap. The halfling took it in the head. Went down.
Well, according to Fafal, it's an alarm trap, not an actual trap. It just makes noise so that somebody in the next room knows you're coming.
They had a gun to the back of his head. The alarm went off. He jumped. Total yeah, Pulp Fiction moment.
Oh, like the old ye old farmer shotgun on a wire. I mean, they do have firearms in Galarian now, right?
Why won't that? There's a chance.
Could maybe. Why isn't that working?
I'm looking for the next episode of Talador CSI.
You know, the actual next Pathfinder adventure coming out in August, you guys are actually investigators and cops in Absalon. Mm. It's a straight Sherlock
thing. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
I'm not playing a cavalier, though, just...
No, you're playing a barbarian investigator.
There you go. With an int of 9.
I rage at the answer.
Why are there no clues in this room?
Processing in court is really a whole nother adventure.
Wasn't there, a TV series with Hulk Hogan doing detective work or something?
Oh, there's a cartoon series with like Mike Tyson doing it.
Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's got its moments.
And on that note, moving on, right? So we're looking into a room that is 25 wide. So 10 feet on each side plus your middle and a good 25 deep. It's square. And on the northeast corner, going north, there's a door. Two sets of lockers line the northern and south walls here. A set of rusted swords stands on display in the open southern locker. Doors exit to the north and the one you came in through to the west. Can I have an intelligence check from Winston?
Natural 20.
No
Natural
promises. 20.
You can. You may not be impressed.
Ooh. Or you might be.
13.
13.
Not bad. Not bad. No,
good. Solid effort.
That should be enough. I'll come back to that roll, but I want it up front so that I just don't forget myself and blurt it out. But that is a good thing. It's a good thing. So, enter the crime scene. Winston sniffs and gives you the sign that, you know, fresh scent. He stops sniffing the ground, starts sniffing around. There's blood on the floor in different places. There's a little bit of disarray. And Winston starts like...
Barkley.
Barkley and Winston start.
Yeah, I'm sniffing too.
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny. Like Barkley looks left and Winston sniffs right. Anyway, he immediately picks up the scent of something in the room. Something within 30 feet of me that's invisible. I smell it and I'm trying to track it. He does that. Ears up, looking straight into the nothing and just starts doing the sniff around without moving. Where is it? Where are you? Gibbles and bits, gibbles and bits, gibbles and bits. I smell bacon, 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 bacon.
I will activate my danger ward.
Oh, do tell.
And I will use it for, let's go reflex. It's a different day. I've already done, or same day, right? No, we slept. Yeah, so I'll do reflex again. So at any point in the next minute or so, when an ally fails a saving throw, they can choose to reroll the saving throw with a +4 competence bonus as an immediate action.
Okay.
But have to take the result of the second roll.
Okay. You guys pan into the room or wait for Barkley's lead? He's frozen on the spot. He takes one step in here, starts smelling around, and he's, you know, like, I don't know if these guys know what he's doing, but Winston, you've worked with him, trained him, you know, yep. You know, he's doing the, there's something here among us, and I can't find it yet, but it's here. Like,
and,
he does that.
And with my danger ward activation, I'll be like, stand ready, men. We are not alone.
Okay.
Ooh.
Lots.
It's going to get real.
Lots of sniffing around, and
I'm moving to the north of Winston.
Barkley slowly moves to the center of the room. What do you guys do?
Stand ready to charge.
Okay. All have entered the room, save for fall in the crawl space, because the alarm trap was an actual 15 foot wide, but only 5 foot deep, like hallway with another set of doors that we kind of forgot to mention. Now we've transversed into what appears to be a locker room. A very long, intense moment goes by, and I think Winston,
yes,
Barkley just begins slowly circling the room. I need to be adjacent to my target to pinpoint it if it's invisible, but I can smell that it's here. So he goes to the middle and then just slowly goes to a wall and just starts circling the room, smelling everywhere, making his way to the south first. And then has a bit of a sniff at the first locker, goes by it, and then sniffs and stops. Two lockers on the south wall on the east side, two lockers on the north wall on the west side. The locker closest to the middle. Yep. Except for, remember the one was open with rusty shit sticking out of it?
So I'll like indicate towards the locker with my sword, look back over my Dunnel Dagon.
Okay.
Lord Varth. Gilder Varth.
Okay. You guys want to what? Get ready, get over there. What?
And I'll take Winston, was it 10 feet to charge?
Yeah, you want to like back up and
yep.
get ready to go to town?
Ready to charge. Yeah.
Backing up almost to the north locker. And okay, so you're busy.
I'll move to right there and kind of jiggle the handle on the locker.
Okay, so Varth goes to the south and does the sort of reach over, but not in front of the locker, from the side, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to get charged.
Yeah, yeah.
Position myself beside the charging halfling and wolf with my bow ready.
Towards the south target?
Yep.
Okay. And Bartholomew is in front of the 10 feet in front of the door on the wall. Fafal can't decide if he's in or out, Fafal.
Out.
Okay.
I'm going to stay in the trap room and just, you know, in case they try and run out this way.
Okay.
Stab them.
So you want to draw a weapon? Because right now I've just had you following along, flipping through a book.
Oh, no. I said, when we entered the previous room, I said I put the book away and drew the rapier.
Oh, sorry. Missed that.
You're good.
But yeah, just checking in this tense moment. Everyone is armed. Everyone is ready. And
I'm going to stealth check.
And the water on the toilet keeps running no matter how much Varth jiggles the handle. But finally, goes stealth mode. He just steps into the doorway and vanishes. Nothing but that flowing hair left. Okay.
That's kind of awesome, though. Good mental image there.
Isn't that good? I was just going to have is like nothing but the grin left. But it's like, well, technically, his lips are pursed in that wicked little grin. It's still kind of, you know, the hair. Anyway.
All you hear is the sound of a...
There you go. So, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I had somebody open a locked box and made you guys all guess what was in it and said, see you next week. Well, we're not doing that. Tonight we're going long. But I would like you guys to guess what might be in this locker. Anyone?
I think a dead halfling is in there.
Yeah, I'm with Gilder Varth.
No imagination. No
dead halfling.
No imagination.
Mostly dead halfling.
Mostly dead. An undead halfling. An undead halfling with cheesecake. Ready to go. No? Okay. Where did he get the cheese? How did he make the cake? These are the answers you must, you know, before the next session.
Cake.
Minus 40 stealth. Your tummy's grumbling. Jiggle the handle. It doesn't open easily, Varth. You gotta, you know, it doesn't just pop open. Yanks it open. And you're right. It's a dead halfling. But wait. All squinting their eyes going, I knew it, Winston. It's sad. It's Sylvia. Do you remember Sylvia who wore your clothes and rode Barkley?
No!
The servant who proudly... You remember Mike and Sylvia?
Yeah. It's the jester chickie.
It's Sylvia.
What?
Wow,
how did she get down here?
I don't know. Who put a body on my board?
She just fell out of the locker, you said.
I want to know how you guys actually got a body. That's awesome. Where'd you get the body from?
The body from the guy that died in the hallway.
I thought I just break dance in there for a minute.
No, I was just like, I didn't plant a body here. Well, I did plant a body here. I'm the GM, but it's like, what the hell? It just kind of freaked me out. Like, who's planting tokens? Do it again.
What's in the box?
Yeah.
That's immersion for
assistance.
Yeah. Yeah. So
leaping from Barkley's back, I rushed to her. No, Sylvia.
Okay. Sylvia has been punctured with rapier and did not survive.
Rapier.
Well, you know, like puncture wounds, sword wounds, probably a rapier, you know.
Take her out of the locker, kind of lay her down.
Okay.
Examine her, see if she has anything that, I don't know, anything that would warrant her being killed like this and stowed away. Anything incriminating? I mean, how did she get down here? Did she get down here like we did?
She's
answers.
She's wearing the clothes, you know, the, what do you call it? The clothes, the servant clothing that she wore upstairs. And yet, after a thorough search, there's a little more. The woman has been stabbed, likely with a rapier, several times. But it doesn't look like she was... The positioning of the swords weren't like somebody just came up and went, ha-ha, I got you, and like right in the gut kind of thing. They look deflected. They look like someone's whittled away, like she fought back. You know what I mean? There's signs of a struggle here. It's top of the shoulder, like, you know, she managed to deflect a rapier up and side the neck. You know what I mean? Not just like a civilian where it's like, you're done. You know what I mean? One stab or two to finish her off. She has several wounds from a rapier, and they are scattered in weird places until finally, you know, there was the killing blow. And it doesn't look like something that you just tie her up and poke her and torture her. She's not tied up. She was just stuffed into this locker. Pressed into her bloodied little hand is a note.
Ew.
Dear diary, this day sucks.
I've been down here.
The butler.
It would have been down here so long. I hope something. Oh, wait, there's someone at the door. Right, exactly.
A strange voice in my head said, roll for initiative.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he meant.
The note scribbled in common, again, with some sort of like black charcoal kind of thing, hastily. And can I have a perception check from Varth, who's looking over the note?
Can I take like a 30?
Sure. You can take 20 if you want.
whoops. I only meant to roll the first one. 9.
It's like somebody pressed this in her hand, crumpled it up, folded up the fingers, and stuffed her in the locker so it wouldn't fall. And then rigor mortis starts setting in and held the note. Now you're prying it out of her cold, dead fingers, quite literally. The writing, though, you kind of get the idea this person does not write in common. Some of the strokes to line up the letters are curved when they don't need to be. Like the back of an R is curved and, you know, fancied a little bit. Do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like they're not that they're trying to be put flair in purpose. It's like they're used to writing different kinds of letters and they're, you know, kind of thing. Not the proper way to write common. The note reads, she was with the Brotherhood and they are watching you.
What?
She was.
No, I heard you. That's the look on Gildervar's face. What?
Can we recognize the name, what it could be referring to as the Brotherhood?
Knowledge geography, knowledge local, knowledge history. Different.
Knowledge local of 14.
The Brotherhood is not local.
Okay.
Knowledge local of 20.
They are a foreign entity. It might refer to the Silent Brotherhood that can operate in Tal'Dorei and probably does, but their origins are not from Tal'Dorei itself, I believe. The Silent Brotherhood are assassins with political and godlike agendas that can be bought if they feel their agenda is with yours. We'll get into that more, but somebody killed Sylvia and then put a note on her basically saying she's an assassin and was watching you. No, you're welcome. Have a nice day. But her day and diary obviously sucked. What do we do? Come on, Varth. Call it out, buddy.
I got nothing.
4.
I still got a 4. What? Wait, in Opera? No. You're thinking of the dirty cities to the south. Not in Opera. Fafal,
go to the Pathfinder wiki and look up the Silent Brotherhood, and we'll come back to you, because you're probably the guy that can give the spiel. Okay? But while we get back to that, what do you guys want to do?
Is everything okay over there?
She was so young. It's so tweet.
Well, it appears she may have been a spy or worse.
Show him the note.
Show him the note?
Yeah.
I mean, she went down not without a significant fight. It makes me wonder who her companions were or who did this.
With a 6, have I ever heard of the brother?
Not in a way that he's implying.
Of course she was stalking me. I'm amazing.
He's referring to the servants' union, you know.
Well, I'll be damned. Brotherhood of Silence. I mean, I knew they operated in Opara and in the Inner Sea, but why was one here?
Do you know something, Fafal?
I know. I've heard word on the street. It's one of the more influential thieves' guilds within the Inner Sea. I had heard something about one of their larger headquarters being here in Opara, but I didn't actually believe it.
Listening in and realizing that, like, this is probably not the most sensitive topic to bring up to around our crying companion, I kind of put a hand on Winston's shoulder, reach down and try to pick up a personal item that's like small enough I could pick it up and just kind of pass it off to Winston.
Sure.
Perhaps if we can find her family, they might appreciate this.
I'll take whatever it is and tuck it into.
If she hasn't killed them already.
I'm not going to say what it is until one fine day we're role playing Winston at their door going, she would have wanted you to have this switchblade. Oh, shit, I said that loud. how insensitive are you? No. Please go on. What do you guys want to do now?
Search the rest of the lockers.
Okay. Do you want to do this while someone is, like, keeping Winston busy? Or just, like, surprise, look, it's, you know.
I mean, I actually did meet her as well, so we'll reminisce about her performances together.
Okay. Oh, no, 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 no. This is Sylvia the servant. Mike and Sylvia, the waiters. I'm not talking about the Harlequin that he had a hard-on for.
Oh, that's who I thought you were talking about.
No. Not Puddin. No, this is the servant girl, also voiced by Ashley Pasquale. But no, this is the, remember Mike and Sylvia? And every time you guys want to talk to a waiter, I play Mike, right? Yeah, this is Sylvia.
Oh, well, then I'm not crying.
No. I redact those tears.
Okay.
Actually, no, I am. Just one single
tear. Yeah, it's terrible. It's a poor servant girl to be, you know, try to fight her off with a tray or something, and then
I lament
stuffed into a locker.
She was thief and possible assassin.
Can't really lament in this city.
Still lay her out respectfully.
Varth, you you pop the next door?
Yep.
There's a halfling body dude in there. It's not a Misdose. It's not a Misdose. It's somebody else, but there's another halfling body. Just saying, if you wanted to peek a little bit, shit.
I open it, see the body.
Okay.
Turn and look at Sir Winston and quietly close it.
Okay.
Moving on.
Okay. Again?
And I'll open that one.
Okay.
I'm expecting to see a halfling.
You do. You do. Oh, no. You see your missing halfling, a Misdose gold blend. Blue. Purple and blue in the face. No puncture wounds, but his neck, he's dead. His neck is swollen. His eyes are bulging and his face and head are.
I slammed the locker shut. Are all of these filled with dead halflings? Sir Winston, get away from that locker. It'll kill you.
I open the locker to the south here.
And then one by one, the mimics come for the Winston, the halfling. Barkley immediately drops you. I'm not, no one on any part of that. Yeah. We had the fourth one just for you. No?
Another halfling. Yeah. So evil. Why are you killing all the halflings, dude? Seriously.
This place is lousy with him.
Told you he was racist.
Right? Who are you talking to? Oh. Me?
You!
Me? I didn't kill...
Three lockers full of dead halflings. Come on. Yeah. There'd be a message here.
I am. Okay, it was in her hand.
How full can it really be considered? You know?
Fair enough. Okay, any of these other ones have messages stuffed in their hands?
Do you want to check?
Yes.
Okay.
Lay them all out.
Okay, well, hang on. First of all, Varth.
Give them the halfling rights.
Varth. Winston. He slammed...
And by giving them the halfling rights, I'm pulling all their belongings out of their pockets and putting...
Okay. No, they've been stripped of valuables. There's no weapons. There's... You know, Misdose, you know, little red-haired mutton chop little dude, you know, bright and cheery. Mm-hmm. Okay, looks like he was strangled with something and his eyes are bulging. And it's like, this kind of fits what Caesar said. You know, I watched the guy get strangled and then whoever it was just dragged him off by said rope or whatever the hell the weapon was. So maybe the little bugger was telling you the truth. This is a Misdose goblin, the halfling servant that you guys found poofed into a room. And now he's been killed and brought here. Killed two more halflings, somebody stuffed them all in lockers, and every single one of them has a note that says the same thing. He was with the Brotherhood and they are watching you.
So now halflings are all assassins? Y'all still can suspect me.
According to Fafal, they're a thieves guild. They're just going to steal from you? Or they're watching you, not hunting you. Who was watching? Somebody doesn't like that. Are you guys all searching the bodies? Are you guys all passing the notes? Are we just kind of, because you guys usually catch me on this, like, well, we all looked at it and licked it and tasted it and okay.
We'll spread them around.
Yeah. I think we're between all of us. We're also moving the bodies kind of like into the middle of the room. Yeah. Be like,
okay.
Respectful.
We're going to make sure that we're all exposed to the contact poison. Yes, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
One goes down. We all go down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
They all get a good lick, right?
Okay.
Hey, there's no loot on the bodies
for my people.
Befall ain't touching.
Okay, so the second male was Mike, the other servant that hung out with Sylvia. Remember Mike?
Yep.
Mike and Sylvia, halfling servants, and a Mistel's goblin who claimed to be a halfling servant, all dead. One was strangled, the other two that were a pair, stabbed to death by something pointy like a dagger or a rapier.
I mean, they certainly had a good last meal.
Yes. Mike, specifically, was stabbed in the throat and bled out. So he was obviously the body, and... He's the back of him is covered in, you know, like the side, like, you know what I mean? That chalky stuff, like black soot. Sylvia, no. Amistos, no. So we have one guy had some black soot on him and was stabbed. We have one guy strangled away from you guys in the middle of the night. He wandered far. So somebody either came from here, killed them, wandered all the way to our party, didn't get to our party, because they would have bypassed you guys in the adjacent room to the market, would have bypassed the flag room and ran into a Mistos in the hallway, maybe, or ran into him dicking around, peeing in the bush in the outside Aridin's temple and just decided to have a conversation or kill him. Caesar said they were talking for a while. Then he killed, yeah. Then somebody killed him. Didn't see who it was.
So whoever the killer was, obviously one, if not all of them, knew who it was.
Mm-hmm.
They knew their killer.
Exactly. I mean,
you don't have casual conversations in the middle of dungeons and not yeah. at least show some level of alarm.
So are you saying there's a killer among us? Even now?
Wait, not us. No, I think through this door right here.
Barkley looks left. Fafal looks right. Bartholomew still looking at the ceiling. No circles up there, Bartholomew. It's safe to look at the ceiling, buddy. You got this room.
Fafal's whistling, and, you know, kicking his foot back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Look inconspicuous, right? That's not a good time for that, dude.
Looking inconspicuous.
Early.
Perhaps we should move on. We can figure this out when we have.
One last thing. Leon, the notes.
Yes.
The lettering. It was written by the same hand several times, but they chose to make some of the letters larger and smaller every time they wrote it. Not much. It's very subtle. Someone who possibly trained in calligraphy in the Tai Shan way of writing or from that country who sees it all the time posted like artwork might catch the subtle larger R the third time it was written. The slowly, you know. The smaller.
Is it potentially like a secret message, I wonder?
Don't know.
If you look here, you can see some of the letters are slightly larger than the others. And I kind of pointed out to the rest of the group.
Okay. Anybody know anything about decoding?
Well, I do have this decoder ring. Oh, I sold it for a... Damn it! I will never know!
There's the brute force of perhaps it's just put together all the slightly larger letters.
And see if it spells something.
Would that be a linguistics check?
Yes, it would.
All right.
Which is free to anyone, but if you have ranks in it.
21.
Nice.
Okay. Leon, can I have an intelligence check?
Sort of.
3.
Ooh.
Okay, so you put it all together, and it doesn't make sense. It might be a different cipher, Fafal, because it doesn't spell out... anything. But there is a pattern. A vertical pattern.
Interesting. Well, it's not spelling anything out in like some sort of vertical pattern. I'm not sure what.
A vertical pattern.
Yes.
Do the letters that are slightly larger, are they slightly oddly shaped?
Mm-hmm.
Could we try writing them so that the letters are slightly connected, but going up and down?
You'd have to rewrite it because the page wasn't laid out to connect them, but you can.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Anyone got any pen and paper, or you guys just kind of, you know, wipe some soot off Mike? Excuse me, Mike, we're going to work this out here. Use lots of floor here. Oh, some blood. Thank you, Sylvia. There we go. Very clever. If you didn't know, Leon's people from this side of the world write their writing in... I'll just let Leon explain.
My people use a pictograph basically. Based writing systems. It's been quite a long time since I've had to use it, but if the letters look odd and it seems like they would go well vertically, I don't understand why there would be any need for it, but perhaps it's a lettering system based off of one of the 10 Sha languages.
Fascinating.
So possibly you know something about this, Leon? Any kind of cultural reference, I mean? Are there any gangs or things like that you think may have come down here? It seems awfully...
I remember stories and vague memories of being chased by various clans, but I don't see why they would come here unless perhaps the Vinmarks pissed someone off in the other side of the world. I don't... Anyways, I suppose we may as well try it, at least.
So,
and I try to write out...
Okay. Now, again, assuming the Tal'Dorei, okay, you see the pattern. They do not. From top to bottom, the letters are U-U-Y-R-U-K-A-H. But from bottom up, they spell H-A-K-U-R-Y-U-U. Hakuru, Leon's real name.
Well, that's disconcerting.
It would appear, Leon, whether you wish to reveal this to them or not, someone has left you a cipher spelling out your name, which means this message is for you, which means someone that speaks and writes your language killed these people and is warning you.
Huh.
Do you tell them?
Well, it certainly seems like it would be from my language. I'm not sure exactly what the message could be, as it's simply my name.
Message stands.
Oh, I know.
They are from the Brotherhood, disguised as civilians, and are watching you, Leon. And somebody has taken upon themselves to do you a favor and kill them and warn you about them.
Hmm.
So the question remains from my little GM speech. If you have two enemy factions in the same camp that become aware of each other, and the party is not aware of either, would one faction seek to eliminate the other to gain the upper hand so it can have its way with the party at a time of its choosing? And if the remaining party learns that the party everybody was watching has been alerted to the treachery, what would that evil party do next? We are alone. All the NPCs are several rooms away. If the killer is among you, they are watching you get this message and figuring it out. If the killer is in the other room, perhaps they're just waiting to see if you get the message and only you figure it out. Or they have left, knowing that the jig is up and their next move is in the future. What do you guys do?
Well, if this message is implying that they know me, I don't believe it would be prudent to suspect any of you, considering, one, apparently I'm the most suspicious of us all, and two, you did presumably save my life yesterday.
I don't know, man. Barkley and Fafal are still looking at each other sideways, just saying.
That's not a surprise to me.
Well, let's figure this out when we have both time and resources at our disposal.
Yes, that seems prudent. And I take one of the notes and just kind of put it in my pocket.
Okay. You need all three, and then you worked out the cipher on the ground. Do we erase this on the ground? Do we leave it here?
Yeah, I'll erase it, like kind of kick the... So, and then,
because for all my intrigue and messing around, here's my freebie. Would you guys leave evidence that you figured it out, or do we cover that up?
Yeah, kick it a little bit so the dust kind of moves, and then perhaps shuffle one of the bodies over top of the...
Mike is getting more and more useful. Wipe, wipe, wipe. It's a mic wipe. He holds up lockers. Okay, gentlemen, what is your next move? What do you want to do? We head back to NPCs, start the interrogations. If I were a killer and stay with the NPCs, I'd be looking for your reactions as you guys come out of that room. I think they'd know by looks on your faces, the way you're looking at all of us. Or they've left. Or...
I think moving to just finishing off, getting to the exit, then go back to get them all like normal would be the best.
Yes, okay. I do have a prior commitment.
Okay. What do you guys do with the bodies?
Lay them out in the middle of the room.
Okay.
We can come back and retrieve for proper burial and then later.
Okay.
Arms up proper.
Yep. Respectfully.
Okay. Head out.
Yep.
Head out. Open this door.
A door opens, and it's a short hallway, 10 feet long, and a door, and another door.
Look, a door.
Ooh. Ah! I see your door, and raise you another. I open that door. Wary of danger. Shield up. Axe out.
Gentlemen, I give you a room, which I think they want you to pause in. I think you want to take stock. There's no reason for it not just to suddenly be stairs in a hallway. This is a room that is 25 feet long, 10 foot deep. Yeah. Okay. Crossing this threshold is an area that connects to the Senate basement and third level. Gentlemen, as you cross the stairway heading to the surface, finally escaping this dungeon, would you please tell us what you plan to take at third level? Because you're going to need to be third level for what comes next.
I'm going to do another level of Cavalier, but it'll be a transitional, and I'd like to talk to you.
No, let's talk about it on the air. Winston goes charging past all of you, shoves Frank Gildervarth, who I thought would cross the room first, and go, I'm a Cavalier, damn it, bitches! Boom, takes a sports car.
So,
he screams out, anti-paladin!
The lawful good to lawful evil, such an easy transition.
This is a feat that came up in Hero Lab. I just perused through their menu. It says it's in the advanced class guide, and it's called Spirit's Gift.
Go on.
You commune with a spirit of your choice, and it grants your animal companion or familiar a boon.
And this is core, like, advanced player? Advanced
class guide, yeah.
Done.
Yeah, it came out with the hunter stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Done. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
At the start of the day, you can choose to commute with a single shaman spirit.
Yeah.
Although a shaman would need an hour of preparation, this takes you no time. Once during the next 24 hours, you can spend a standard action to grant your animal companion that shaman spirit animal ability minute per level.
Oh, so the spirit doesn't, like, possess Barkley, and then Barkley, like, you know, reads your tea for you or something, you know.
But, like, there's a whole list of shaman spirit animals. Awesome. They all, like, it's
I love
like
it.
Flight, one can breathe underwater.
I love
like,
it. Get on
Wonder
it.
Wonder dog, man.
Now, your base Sweet. Attack's going to go up.
Yep.
Start working on him right this second.
I am.
Varth, you cross the room.
Oh, praise be to Sarenrae.
Exactly, because as you come up to the basement of the Senate and witness the horrifying slaughter, there are guards wandering around. The entire place is in shock. Someone has locked in and penned in, as you horribly witnessed and unfortunately executed, 222 senators. You learn a few things. But first, fast forwarding, when you come up those stairs, learn these horrible things, you're still in a fog, Varth. But when you step outside into the daylight and see that new dawn and see that bright day, you know in your heart that you can lay on hands. You gonna take a level of paladin?
I am going to take a level of paladin.
You can take a level of, okay. And they stone you immediately. Heretic! We're still Taldor. They hit you. Level of paladin. Awesome. May I suggest that every time I nudged him to the dark side, as in, Frank, you sure you want, like, even he wouldn't even intimidate. He'd stay with diplomacy. That takes a lot, man. That's good on you. It's good role-playing to stick to your guns, know how much I nudged you. Now you're paladin, though. Time to fall from grace. I mean, we're just going to dig right in. You think I mean to?
There's some sweet fall from grace feats that I'll be taking with my anti-paladin.
Please tell me that you're taking the archetype Shining Knight to really lean
in.
Awesome. So still a cavalier. It's the holy cavalier. Next we have Bartholomew.
Yeah, I'm stuck in a rut. I can't stop taking these cavalier levels.
I'm stuck in a rut. After all that whimsy, you're not going to... Okay.
Nope.
All right.
More cavalier.
More!
Leon.
I've come to see that society sees me as an outsider to begin with, so I will lean on to that. And I also noticed that as much as my training has helped me, I'm still sorely lacking, to the point that I couldn't actually help be of much assistance to my companions in this past time. I'm planning to take a ranger so I can focus in on actually watching the true nature of the people around me and focusing more of my efforts into honing my craft.
Okay. Just so that no one thinks that what I'm about to tell you has affected his choice, the samurai is actually a duplicate class. There is the paladin, who falls from grace and becomes a fighter and has to atone. There is the samurai that if he forgoes his lord, if his lord dies, or if he, you know, renounces his pledge, he becomes what is known as a ronin samurai. Disgraced, no lord, and it alters his class and abilities. I put it to you, Leon, that as you surface and learn a fact, though, again, the player has already decided to start taking levels in Ranger, I did notice that you were kind of our tracker. Bartholomew always wanted to track and helped, and Barkley obviously was our lead, but it was always Leon that brought up, we should look for tracks. I want to look for tracks. I helped kill the druid. That little bugger almost killed me. I got tied up to a tree by a bunch of eco-terrorists. Let's hunt them down and, you know, side adventures, right? He certainly had his woodland training by being held by eco-terrorists for like a week, so I'm not going to dispute that. There's definitely a lead on there, so no problem. One thing you guys learn when you get to the surface, Grand Prince Stavian III is dead, and you are Ronin. At least, your two little levels, before you shamefully branched out into Ranger. And last, but not least, would Fafal finally reveal what the Fafal you are? Two levels, please.
See, I would. So, first level Slayer. Bounty Hunter Slayer, actually.
Right out of Mummy's Mask, by the way. We didn't change him. We changed what he was going to be. It's just, we, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We bounced around with some ideas.
Yep.
Second level, Brazen Deceiver Bard. Oh. Because, you know, we're in an intrigue campaign.
Okay.
And third level, I have been so inspired by the friends that I have made and worked with here. I am going to take a level in Cavalier.
Sorry, I won't allow it. you'll always be a second class citizen, you foreign piece of crap. Not allowed, sorry. Cool.
Okay. Well, second choice.
No.
You'd
be a cavalier. Do you know that there actually is a horse riding or a cavalierish archetype in most of the other classes? There actually is a rogue called a Hassan, the horse experts out of Kadira.
Yep.
Right?
I'm aware.
But that would lean you into a rogue. You need to pick pockets. I like the idea that the company you share has decided for you to be, right? Well, first of all...
I was completely bullshitting that.
What? You don't want to be a cavalier?
I don't want to be a cavalier whatsoever. I'm taking another level of bard.
I was just going to say... I was just about to say Lord Varth could actually knight you in his house. You deceptive little... Oh, that level of brazenly deceptive.
Well played, Aiden.
Let's freshen up that hero point for Aiden Willems, everybody. There you go. Well done, sir. Well done, sir.
I posted my updated character sheet.
All right. Gentlemen, you learn the Senate has been slaughtered. Unfortunately, you escaped doom. However, the princess and Lothied, you also learn from the guards that they made it out. But Gorilla Morelia, also there, also made it out. But Lothied is missing. We go through the channels. You know, you use your pins, try and contact her. Nothing. Nada. Do you guys remember the last couple messages? Something about rescuing some intelligence checks?
Tortoise Wednesday.
22.
9.
Okay. You don't remember any messages. That wasn't 9. Her. What did you get there, Varth?
5.
I have a pin?
I refuse to roll over a 5 today.
Well, at least for intelligence, right?
I've been rolling hot tonight. I don't know what
it is. I actually kind of noticed that. Fafal has really been the guy tonight. So 13, Winston. She mentioned going somewhere, like a safe house. She was on her way to, and she mentioned like a district or something, or half the name of a warehouse. And Fafal, the most troubling fact, they were in the middle, her and a few of her men, were in the middle of rescuing a bunch of halfling servants. And now, no contact from Lothied. Not a good sign.
Well, that's not.
So, we have doubled back, we have dragged back, we have done quite a bit. I would like to push on. A little bit of overtime, it's only 11 o'clock and we're only at an hour and 42 minutes. But, so that the sucker renders, I'm going to pause, end the episode here, but we will be right back and I will post these together. So this is part one. So, level 3 is revealed. And we will see you next time. Check out part B of our season finale of Dice Before Dishonor. Thank you for watching.